Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Tuesday, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Hope you're having a great day. Always great to talk to you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide, because that's what we do here at Cheesehead TV. Not a ton of Packers headlines to talk about today. However, the league and the ownership has been meeting in Minneapolis, and we have our first headline out of those meetings, which is the NFL, by unanimous vote, all 32 teams voting in favor of allowing NFL players to play in the Olympics in flag football. I don't really have a strong feeling either way. I know Brian Gutekunst was on record earlier this offseason talking about how he really hopes that NFL players wouldn't be involved. Certainly, I get it from a general manager aspect, not wanting to see guys put themselves at risk of injury, especially so close to the season. But I also, you know, I understand players maybe having an affinity for the Olympics and a desire to represent their country. And this would certainly give them an avenue to do so. Going to be interesting to see the conversation coming off of this, both within the Packers organization, but through teams throughout the league and how they, you know, try to handle this, because it is just, you know, the league and ownership again, saying we have no problem with it, right? Do your thing. If you want to, go ahead. I don't think that automatically means a bunch of guys are going to sign up to do it, but it certainly opens that door. And I am fascinated to see who tries to participate in the Olympics, especially as they're coming to America next time around. And certainly you would think some of these guys are going to want to get on board and get off on the right foot, so to speak, as a country that is trying to import football all over the world. There's a great way to be an ambassador for the game, obviously for your country. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are a number of NFL players that participate. But personally, I would say, yeah, I probably hope most Packers players don't find themselves getting caught up in it. And I'm sure that, like I said, Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur and company will have ongoing conversations with guys in terms of participation. But as the one headline we've got so far, nothing yet on the now. It's interesting because yesterday when we last discussed the league meetings, I mentioned that the Packers have submitted their proposal to ban the tush push. And at that point, I was going off of Albert Breer's reporting that said that there was no change in the submission. But yesterday, after I got off here live, Tom Pelissero reporting that the Packers have indeed changed the wording and made it a bit more narrow focused as far as what is being asked to be prohibited. So we'll see how this transpires over the course of the next 24 hours. I suspect we'll get an answer here in the next day. But that's still an ongoing drama, as it were. But my thoughts have turned to the Packers offense in general, as opposed to the defense trying to stop the Philadelphia Eagles tush push. Talking about and thinking about the two tight end sets that we have been dreaming about as Packers fans, and I think probably the coaching staff has as well, that clearly has not been able to take wing due to the fact that, for the most part, Luke Musgrave has not been able to stay on the field. There have certainly been moments where we've seen Musgrave on the field and Tucker Kraft has been injured. But if there is a possibility, this should be the year where we finally, hopefully, see a lot more of it. And I do think for all the talk last year about the struggles or the somewhat limited play action that we saw, the effectiveness of it and even the usage of it, I do think getting two of these guys, these two particular players on the field together, will help in that regard. It's not just being able to use two tight end sets to maybe set the edge a little bit better in max protection while you're working downfield or using Luke Musgrave down the seam. I know I hear that a lot, and I do think there will be some of that. But I also think it gives you an inherent advantage as an offense to really kind of dictate to a defensive coordinator who maybe is trying to wrestle with, well, do I put my base defense out there? Do I go nickel? Where do I go light? Do I go light? I do think the Packers have two tight ends that can really take advantage of whoever and however a defense approaches it. You got to think, especially with some of the RPO stuff, some of the check with me at the line stuff that Jordan Love should have access to. I think that's a real key to getting back to some effectiveness in the play action game. clearly the idea of getting Josh Jacobs going is tantalizing. And I do think Luke Musgrave in particular has to hold up on his end of the bargain when it comes to the blocking aspects. But getting these two players on the field together should really open up some possibilities for the Packers offensively that we have not really seen since these two guys were selected in the draft a couple years ago. And again, it's a lot due to Musgrave's lack of availability, but certainly the idea is tantalizing. And you saw just a hint of it towards the end of last year. And I don't doubt for a moment that I take, you know, Matt LaFleur and Adam Stenovich at their word that they very much intend on getting Tucker Kraft the ball a lot more and having him a much more focused part of the offensive attack week in and week out. I think some part of that component should probably also feature Musgrave being on the field as an option. And that two tight end set, you know, I'm not saying it has to be even a majority of the focus on offense, but I do think it should be something that if you're an offensive designer, game planner, everything we talked about coming off of last season with some of the struggles in the passing game and really the issues they had on third down, I think these two can create some mismatches and help you in that regard, finding a little bit more of a rhythm and finding an ability to do something that you haven't put on film a ton of. You haven't done a ton of it. And you're always looking, Matt's always talking about trying to find that new wrinkle or that new thing that maybe you haven't put a, you know, unscouted looks, as we hear a lot of. You know, there's a lot they can do there. So I'm still dreaming of it. I'm still hoping we see a ton of it in 2025. Hopefully both these guys can stay healthy. And it can, especially early in the season, be a significant component for this offense, because I do think it's a lot of untapped potential there. Here's hoping. Here's dreaming, as I like to say. How you guys doing? Good to see everybody in the comment section. Everybody mixing it up already. Good to see you all. Before we get going, of course, let's give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, for larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking or any of that. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. They even have a drive-through window. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage or in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of that nonsense. Utilize a company and a team based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. You know you want to. What's going on, folks? Ryan starting us off with a super chat. How are you, man? Do you think that the top NFL stars will compete in the 2028 Olympics? What Packers players will be in the Olympics? You know, it's fascinating. I haven't really heard or seen any kind of quotes from any of the guys at 1265 wanting to or wishing they could. I know it's been, like I said, I know Brian was asked about it earlier this offseason. I really don't have a handle on if there are any Packers that are really kind of interested in participating in the Olympics. I suspect, you know, if there were, we probably would have heard them be vocal by now about it. I know Justin Jefferson has been very open and honest about wanting to participate. I do think he's the one NFL star who's really kind of gotten behind this idea. I think he was on hand for the announcement today. I don't think we'll see a ton of star players involved. That would be my guess. I do think you'll see a lot of college players involved and a lot of guys who play flag football on the regular. I would be surprised if a lot of star NFL players participated in the Olympics. And sadly, it's mostly, you know, a financial component where you don't want anything to happen to risk whatever you're going into the next season for that summer. All of a sudden you're taking yourself off the board because you twisted an ankle or you did whatever in the Olympics that caused you to miss time in the NFL. Maybe you're gunning for a new contract. You're trying to hit incentives, maybe just get a roster bonus, you know, and putting all that in jeopardy for a place in the Olympic team. Like I said, it's really down to each individual guy now that the NFL has opened the door, but I really don't have a handle, man, when it comes to the Packers. Well, we'll see. I'm sure the guys who are, I believe, returning into the fold later the next week, hopefully they'll be asked about it and we'll start to get some answers. Ryan, thanks again. Tush push equals rugby. I mean, I think you're probably, you know, in the majority for a lot of people who watch that play and have watched it now for the last couple of years. And, you know, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's situational awareness, and the Eagles have done a really good job of becoming good at it in that situation in particular, both short yardage and goal line. And, you know, teams need to figure out a way to stop it, because certainly there's a way. Other teams attempting it haven't been near as efficient as the Eagles have been. And when people have tried to do it against the Eagles have done a pretty damn good job of stopping it themselves. So I hear you when it comes to rugby. It does look like a rugby play, but that is kind of the formational foundation of the game of football. So I don't really have an issue with it. That's just me, though. Ed, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Curling is an Olympic sport, but formation skydiving isn't. The Olympic folks made some weird decisions. Well, some of this is through the ages has been like, you know, who has been greasing the palms of whoever's making the decisions there at Olympic headquarters, so to speak. But yeah, curling is, you know, it's an awesome wintertime activity. I got no problem with being an Olympic sport. It's fun stuff. Brandy, how are you? Thanks for the super chat. We have seen tight ends come and go over the last decade a lot. Kraft has been a good player. What is the bar for success? I forget what that is. That's, you know, I think that's somewhat subjective. I think Kraft is well on his way to becoming a very, very good tight end in the league. I think this is a pivotal year for him, and I do think a lot will depend as far as what his final numbers look like, how much Matt is true to his word about trying to get him involved on a consistent basis, because we've certainly seen how he has, in some games, become a pretty significant focal point of the offense, where it's clear they're running plays with him in mind as the initial read or what have you. And then there are stretches, seemingly 2 or 3 weeks, where he is not central to the game plan, and it doesn't look like they're making a concerted effort to get him the ball. Now, that may just be, well, this is the best way to attack that specific defense week after week, and maybe the tight end position isn't integral to it. But I do think at this point, he has shown his ability, both, you know, obviously in line, but even split out, utilizing, you know, the downfield passing game, some of his yak ability. This is a guy you want to try to feed a little bit more than they have. And I think, you know, you can, whatever numbers you want to put on, I don't really care, but I do want him to be the first read on the call sheet, so to speak, a bit more than he has been on a consistent basis, week in and week out. He is a guy who should be touching the ball every week, and he should certainly be given opportunities to, you know, not only move the ball, but score. You know, he could be a pretty significant red zone threat if they drew up a few more things for him, I suspect. So I think, to me, that's what it's about, is just making sure that he's part, a significant part of the game plan every single week. Callum, how are you? Hope you're well, man. Thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. What is your opinion on our pass rush this year? Dubious, Callum. I am dubious. It's the one area of the team that I really have a wait-and-see approach, because I do see a pathway to success, for lack of a better term, in the defensive secondary, where I know people have questions. I think the linebackers are going to be good. I think Quay and Cooper together is going to be a really good duo. But when it's third down, third and seven, third and eight, and the Packers want to play coverage and rush four, are they going to be able to get to the quarterback? I have no idea. Count me dubious. That is the one spot where I have no real great feel for what they're going to be like, and how effective they're going to be when rushing a clean four-man rush. So that's what I think about the pass rush. That's where I'm at. Soder, what's up, Eeyore? They say they want to get Kraft more involved. For sure, 90% of the passes will be deep sideline shots in 2025. Now, I would be very, very surprised if that is the case. I think they'll certainly want to work the sideline, and I think you've seen in the past, especially that Minnesota game 2 years ago, where they had kind of the outlet stuff, you know, on the sideline, towards the sideline, when they invite the rush and then they kind of jet him out, and they were really effective with some of that. But I also think they've had this kind of on again, off again relationship with the middle of the field, and they've been somewhat reticent because, you know, Love's gotten in trouble trying to throw over the middle, attacking the middle of the field. That's some of his kind of worst interceptions have occurred, you know, within that area. But I'll also say, I think that's where, you know, probably Tucker can be most effective. So I think it's a balancing act, but I also think if you're going to get the best out of Tucker Kraft, you have to be able to utilize the entire field, right? You can't just pigeonhole it to one area. No doubt about that. Dennis, random Packer, Donald Lee. Come on, D. Lee. Jim says, I think he could be top five. We'll see. I think he 100% could be top five. I think he could be in the conversation as one of the best tight ends in the game this year if he is as productive as they're talking about him being, right? I think he continues to get better in every facet of the game. I think we've seen him certainly improve when it comes to all aspects of the blocking game, but that's even something where he could continue to improve. There are certainly moments, especially in the back half of last season, where he kind of got taken advantage of at times. You know, that's just continuing to work on your technique, being focused down in and down out. Hopefully that's a continuing development with his game because, yeah, he's going to put up numbers, hopefully more numbers than he has in the past. And being able to, you know, be effective as a blocker is part of your gig as a tight end. Certainly it's what has separated Kittle all these years. His ability to really seal an edge and really bury a guy enables them to keep him on the field too. You know, that's another big part of it. Bob Jones, interesting question. Will Bo, number 80, make this roster? Ooh, dubious, I would say. I am of the opinion that there's a decent chance that he does not make the initial 53-man roster, but will be brought back on the practice squad. And then if injuries were to occur, then they would probably bring him up. Now, I say all that sitting here on May, whatever it is, right? Man, injuries and practices will go a long way in determining almost all of this, right? I think you certainly appreciate Bo Melton as a player. It's hard to see a path to the initial 53-man roster for him if everyone stays healthy, though. But that said, who knows, man? Maybe he goes out there and balls out and takes a step that no one expected him to in training camp this year. But sitting here looking on paper, I think that he has practice squad written all over him. Funko, I'm glad you asked. Thoughts on the Favre documentary? Yes, I watched the Favre documentary earlier today on Netflix, and I got to say, it was decidedly meh. You know, there was a lot of kind of coverage of his rise from his high school days even to his play in college to obviously his early days in Green Bay. And then, of course, the turn toward being traded to the Jets and then the Jen Sturger stuff and dovetailing that, of course, into the welfare scandal. It is not a lot of new information there. Like most of that, if you have read any of the kind of coverage of all these events, it was pretty much by rote. It's always interesting to hear some firsthand accounts, right? To get Sturger's thoughts on things point blank, like out in the open on camera like that was somewhat interesting. The real kind of meat and potatoes of what is going on with the welfare scandal, I would have liked to seen that delved into a little bit more and some actual kind of reporting with some of the people that have been involved on reporting it. And I know they did touch, they had a couple, you know, reporters, talking heads, what have you. But that to me was a bit disappointing because that's kind of how they sold it, right? But I will say, I thought it was interesting. I didn't expect them to be as kind of fair, I guess is the only word I can use, regarding his ascension. Like, they were very good about capturing what it meant to be in Green Bay when Brett came on the scene and became what he became. I thought they were pretty fair there, and I didn't expect them to be. So, but overall, again, I thought I'm somewhat disappointing. I thought there'd be a little bit more information that we hadn't heard or maybe hadn't considered or maybe access to a few more people who have been involved in this particular part. But yeah, it was somewhat underwhelming in that regard. But overall, if you're a Packers fan, I mean, I think it's worthwhile viewing, but not essential viewing. Let's put it that way. Let's see what we got here. Rai, how are you, man? Is the Packers' emphasis on the O-line a product of Ron Wolf, similar to their size thresholds, or is this a trend, a Ted Thompson tentacle? That's an interesting way to put it. Yeah, man, I don't know. I think the threshold thing and their kind of what they've looked for at the position, et cetera, they've, you know, pretty much that's been set since Ron was in town. Now they've massaged those things, and certainly it's continuing kind of progression of, okay, I know Brian talks about the fact that we've always wanted to be big, but it's certainly not been. They wanted to be this big, the guys they brought in this offseason. So that is a continuing kind of development, right? And I do think Ted certainly seemed to crack the code when it came to the athletic, versatile offensive linemen, the way they just continuously seem to find them. Lots of times tackles, right, that they move to guard, but real athletes along the offensive line. That seemed to be a pretty Ted-driven thing, and I think Brian has kind of picked that up as well. Mimsy, what's up? Did I miss the Favre Doc reaction? Vikings legend. Yeah, Mimsy, I literally just talked about it, but just rewind when I'm done. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Patreon members, Carry the G Club members, don't forget, happy hour at the top of the hour. The information is on your respective pages. Hope I'll see you there. For the rest of you, please hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.